It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I feel like I asked you this before, or like that this has come up before on the podcast, but I absolutely can't remember the answer, and it's been bugging me, so I'm going to ask you. And I think some of it, when it came up before, may have been how it came up, so I think I may be able to phrase this better. Unless I imagined that it came up before, in which case, first time, but know that I threw out one version of how I was going to explain this, and I think this one is superior.
Okay.
So, congratulations. Also, the bad news for the evening is, despite my attempts, the food did not show up before we started. So.
Okay.
Sorry. All right, so. I understand, and I am expressing no opinion either way, but I understand the argument of people considering it better if something is sweetened with sugar, actual sugar, instead of high fructose corn syrup.
Okay.
I understand this. What I do not understand is what the apparent added layer of benefit is if it's cane sugar. Because people almost always are very big on specifying that it is cane sugar.
Hmm.
What's that about? I mean, I get that it sounds sexier than, like, sugar beet sugar. Like, that doesn't sound... like, I get that. And to the degree that it always is to me, too. Like, it's always the health things and stuff. And they're like, only sweetened with cane sugar. And one day I was like, why the fuck does the cane part matter? Like, sugar I get. And, like Pepsi has the real sugar version. And that's what Trish prefers to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes it better. And it just says real sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the ingredient label says something. But, like, especially if it's shit you get out of the hippie aisle. And you know which aisle I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The hippie aisle, it's all about the cane sugar. Unless it's about the blue agave nectar or whatever.
Or evaporated cane juice.
Yes, but still cane. Yeah. Sometimes it's juice. I always love that. I'm like, yeah, because that's not sugar. We call it juice. Also, P.S., all juice, basically sugar, but
that's,
whatever.
That's right.
So why is cane sugar, is it literally branding? Is it optics? Or in this case, grammar? What is it optics if you're reading it? I don't know what that is, but.
Well, for sodas, it's nostalgia. That's really all it is.
Really?
And it does taste different to most people. Or I don't know if that's.
So back in the day, sodas were all with the cane sugar and not the sugar beets and stuff,
sure,
and whatever,
sure,
other sources?
Yeah, right.
I did not know that.
And a lot of people swear they can taste the difference. I wouldn't be surprised by that, because I do think high fructose corn syrup is different.
I would also not be surprised that people swear they can taste the difference. I believe that people would swear they could taste the difference in anything.
No, that's why I say maybe it's psychological. But I mean,
as a diabetic raised on diet sodas, I haven't made any sort of comparison.
The reason I can believe it is because I do think, like, it is syrup, right? In a soda that's got corn syrup, it is syrup. And I do feel like when I've had sodas, like, recently, in the recent past, they tasted more like there's a syrup in it than before.
But I feel like you're straying off again. I'm not talking about high fructose corn syrup.
I'm sorry. You're right. But I'm just
saying, just talking about if it's sugar from a source other than cane.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Versus if it's cane sugar.
Again, when it comes to sodas, I think it's just nostalgia. When it comes to anything else, I honestly do not know. In fact, I'm really not sure health-wise. You know, people do say that, or people have said that high fructose corn syrup is less healthy than other sweeteners, and I'm not clear on why that is.
And the science on it is complicated at best, especially because, you know, the corn lobby is trying to make sure that it comes out a certain way. Remember all the corn sugar commercials?
Yes, but I understand, too, that...
Okay, we may lose this forever. It keeps doing the little pausing thing like it did when it would break before.
I have heard people say that different sugars are metabolized differently, so that some sweeteners are worse for diabetic type people.
Potentially,
or,
yes.
Or for causing type 2 diabetes. I've heard that. I don't know any of the details, or I don't...
Yeah,
I
there
don't
are a lot of different false. Sugars, and it's arguable how that they may do differently.
But I've also heard that the cane sugar lobby is pretty powerful also, and that a lot of the stuff you hear about the benefits of cane sugar might be exaggerated because of that lobby. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who's telling the truth or what's right
I
or wrong.
I assume none of them, but...
So I have no idea.
I was raised on... CNA, pure cane sugar.
Yes, as was I.
From Hawaii. They always had to say it like that. Sweetened by the sun. And that's how you know it's authentic, if they say Hawaii. It's like saying Mexico, you know, or Connecticut.
So, yeah, I...
There are people who legit say Illinois, like,
yeah.
Now.
I mostly,
like, I saw one a week ago.
I'm mostly confused by all the sugar stuff. I mean, all I know is that... you know, certain people respond very poorly to getting too much carbohydrates or sugars or whatever. Some people don't. So you just kind of have to know how you respond to it, what your doctor says, and things
and
like that.
Of course, people get to remain innocent and so forth by not having their names used. But I have friends who... I have multiple friends, in fact, whose digestive tract does not handle high fructose corn syrup well. Mm. And I don't just mean they say that, like everybody who's like, I'm gluten intolerant. I mean, I have witnessed the effect. Not like, I wasn't in the bathroom with them, but I mean, like, I have been at functions where they have had high fructose corn syrup and spent a lot of time in the bathroom. And So, I mean, I know for some people that's an impact. Mm. I don't know what it means, but
Well, I mean, beet sugar is used a lot in American food processing.
I remember seeing it like on Sesame Street or something. They had one of those things that was basically just a bunch of shots of people doing farming while some woman sang a silly repetitive song.
Yeah.
They had a lot of those. There's one about beets, beet sugar, beets, beets. Like, there was a whole thing.
Hmm.
Which confused me, because my one culinary enemy in the world is beets.
Yes.
And I don't get how that, like, but sugar. Well, and everything's thrown into chaos now that we know that they totally bullshit their research in the 60s and all that, so.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world where the listeners are constantly talking about how it was better with the original hosts. Even though we are the original hosts. I seriously imagine... Because, yeah, in my head, people listen to it together. And so they're talking like, yeah, it was better with the old guys. Dude, these are the same... Really? I thought I remembered funnier guys. Like, in the beginning, weren't there? No, same dudes.
Well, you did cut your hair, so...
That could be it. People tuned in for my hair.
That's a big change.
Somebody just asked about that today. They were like, does it affect the cats? And I was like, I think Ezzy used to play in it a little bit. But they're mostly pretty fine. This is the first official episode on the new laptop, assuming it successfully makes it to the internet. If you're hearing this, it was a success. It's a little freaky, don't know enough, it took a long time to boot up. In theory, its battery life is plenty good for it. It is poiple, as the gentleman here has testified.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, there's somebody for you at the door.
Already?
Yeah. See, it was close, I almost got it before you showed up. I thought I would manage it. I have so little control.
Thank you.
Whew. My last night before Trish comes home, so I went for treating myself to sushi. So this is the first new one. I mean, the first one on the new computer, so you should tell us how we sound. Do we sound different? I feel like that's unlikely, but it could be.
Shouldn't be a thing.
I don't know how things work. So, but if it is, let us know. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's worse. Maybe it's, I don't know. Pod people. Maybe it's Maybelline. For those of you just joining us, let me get the thing out of the way. For those of you just joining us, this is the computer we've always had. There was never an old computer. Here's how this show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks, like yourselves, cool people, people who we need now, very much so, go and do this. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little comments, notes, topics, questions, whatever. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its email drawing servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That is the show, except for all the tons of parts that aren't.
Yep.
Also, I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 273.
There we go.
But who's counting? Wait, I am.
Literally.
That's
you had one job.
Yeah, that's my job to count. Yep.
We're getting up into the numbers that he is, shall we say, less familiar with.
Yeah. I never have to count this high.
The other day he said it was episode 311D. We had no idea what that was. So, how was your week? Summer finally showed up, and it does seem to be summer, not spring.
Right.
We had the giant thunderstorm last night that didn't cool anything off, just made it way more humid.
Yeah.
But the pool is essentially ready. It's ready except for that it's 65 degrees.
What does that mean? It
means very cold.
I mean, is that bad?
It's bad for swimming in it.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
I keep it at 73 degrees generally. Mm. People think that is ridiculously cold. Most people don't want to go swimming in anything under 80. And for a lot of people, it's like 85.
Seriously?
90. Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
Because of the regulatory powers of your skin, so that you're always at 98.6, even when... I mean, do you ever think about the fact that you're not cold when it's like 85, even though your body theoretically is running 98.6? Has to do with that. So when it goes down to that kind of temperature, and it's not just the air, it's water all over your skin, then it's...
Interesting.
Very cold. And that's, yeah, so I said about 73, and usually 5-10 minutes, my teeth start chattering. And then I'm great for hours afterward, even if it's really hot out.
I have never even thought about, like, water temperature, whether it be or not be.
No, that's a big thing. What you have a pool, what do you keep the temperature at? That's a thing.
Hmm. Never even give it a thought.
I got into it up to my belly button last night. For like 2 minutes, that was as much as I could take, and I don't think it helped me stay cool in the night. I think it just confused my body, because the rest of it got really hot, and then that part was numb, and then kind of hurt, and then was just cold, and it was, I think it just confused things.
I see.
If I can get up to 70, I'm gold. Like, that's lower than I want it, but I can stay in that for a good few minutes. So we'll see what happens. It's running right now, but I got all the chemicals and everything in it, and it's filled up and all that jazz.
Well, we played the second season of Telltale Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, was it good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really good. We liked the last one quite a bit. I think this one was even better. It's very, very good. And it's... you make choices, and they have an impact, on where the story goes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as you know, a lot of game series that used to do that pretty heavy... Well, like even Mass Effect, the last Mass Effect, you did have choices and stuff.
Yeah.
But they really lightened up what impact they would have on the game.
Yeah.
I mean, if you played it again and made very different choices, it wouldn't change the game that much. Not anymore. But these games, they're very different depending on what you choose.
Because that's sort of the whole point of the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can make Bruce Wayne and Batman be... a very specific kind of personality and have a very specific kind of relationship with various people in the game.
Can you cause him to come to peace with his parents' death?
That
would be an awesome game.
The thing is...
I would play that game so many times.
The thing is, there are so many I actually can't answer that question
without
giving things away, because that's how good the game is and how many interesting things it explores with individual characters and with relationships between characters. It's just, it's so good.
He's dressed up a couple of dining chairs as his parents and calls them mom and dad, so he doesn't even know they're dead.
I recommend it for anybody, honestly. Even if you don't think you'd be interested in Batman or a Batman game, there's just no way you're not going to have fun with what this game does and where it goes. And the choices you have to make and the kinds of choices they present to you are, like, really impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to make these choices in a particular time frame because there's a time running out. It's really good. It's just really, really
good. So, given this attitude, are you very excited about this Detroit Become Human game?
Well, I was already. I would.
I only just recently, I mean, I'd seen things, but I didn't know anything about it until recently.
I'm very interested in that game.
And for those who aren't familiar, it's a game that's coming out soon. It's a sci-fi game. And supposedly, like, their whole marketing thing is the decisions really matter in the story. And it's like three different overlapping stories you play. But, like, decisions you can make could kill someone, like the main character, and the game still goes on. Just with the other characters. So apparently it's a very big deal.
Telltale Batman, you know, just about every choice has some pretty significant consequences. It's just, I don't know. And they're interesting choices for the characters. They're not just hard choices for being hard.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of games that your hard choice is, it's pretty pedestrian. These really seem to get into who the character is. You understand why this choice is important and relevant to this character and the character's relationship with other characters. That's even more important. And I just can't say.
That's cool. I really liked, I don't know how much I want to say Mass Effect Andromeda pulled that off. I feel like Mass Effect Andromeda really facilitated my ability to get into character.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Much more than the previous ones. Very seldom did I find myself thinking, how's the story going to branch if I pick this? It was very much, how's Ryder, my version of Ryder, going to respond to this?
Well, and that was a deliberate choice on the part of the developers. I saw interviews with them, and they said, we didn't want people to worry so much about what the big game consequences were going to be. We wanted people to be able to, like you said, play the character, get into the character and the character interactions and relationships. And so they deliberately turned one thing down to enhance the other, which I guess worked for you, and that's good.
Yeah.
But I don't know how Telltale does it, but they don't sacrifice
anything.
Well,
I mean, that's anything. Their thing.
Yeah, they don't sacrifice.
This is all they do.
They don't sacrifice anything for these choices. The character development, the character arcs, the relationships are all great. The writing's great. The voice acting is great. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the art style of the whole thing, but even that, you start to kind of get used
to.
But
I think that, and I think to a degree that's part of it, that wasn't the thing.
Yeah.
They spent the time on the story.
I'll tell you this, though.
It's a narrative video game.
Somehow, even with that sort of sparse art style, facial expressions are so good. I'm not kidding. I mean, facial expression communicates so much. I can't believe it. It's like everyone's focusing now on, you know, motion capture for faces and all this stuff. Here is almost just a really old fashioned 2D animation, and it's really good for conveying
emotion.
Which is
very fascinating to me, because a lot of them are getting good at this kind of stuff. When I look back to, like, when I played Morrowind, you know, versus now, the faces are always hard. And we all kept waiting, like, oh, are they going to break the Uncanny Valley? I don't think they ever did, or have so far, but they've really got emotion down. So, like, the person I'm talking to on the screen does not look, I would not confuse it for a photograph or something,
right.
But I absolutely understand the nuance of their emotion.
Right.
This weird cartoon person, I totally get where they're coming from.
Yeah, right.
That was a strange sentence, but I really need to try one. I think I own like three or four of them between like Humble Bundle and PlayStation Plus and stuff. I own some Telltale games and I've never played them.
Well, I know you got the first Batman one because it was free.
Somewhere I've got the first Big Bad Wolf from the Fable series, which I read the Fable series, so I'm kind of intrigued about that. I think I might have to plug in the PS3 again, but I've got the whole first season of Walking Dead. I think I have the Borderlands ones. Yeah, I think I have a bunch of them. But I haven't done anything with them.
Well, you know,
I really should. Because nobody's ever been like, this Telltale game sucks. Like, never comes up.
If you ever try one, I'd be really interested to hear what you thought of it. And if you ever do a Batman one, especially. But if you do the first Batman game, and if you like it at all, I think you really like the second one. Although I'll say this, it's pretty brutal. And it's dark and it's brutal. And it's really serves the story. I mean, yeah. It's not just gratuitous. I mean, there's a reason.
For I mean, there's potentially complications in that. I'm kind of done with Batman. I'm sick of Batman.
Except this is so different.
And if they did a Batman and Spider-Man Telltale game, I would play the shit out of that. The narrative version of Goat Simulator.
But this is so different because the great thing about this game is that it's not just some version of Batman that you've seen before, or someone's idea of Batman, and you just have to kind of deal with it. It really feels like you're Batman.
Mm.
Like, you are deciding what this Batman's going to be like. And there's a lot of choices. You know, there's quite a range of choices for how you want his personality to develop or what kind of person you want him to be. So,
well, for starters, give Kevin Conroy the bad news. I want it to be voiced by... I want his voice to sound like Harvey Fierstein.
Okay, well, anyway.
Oh, that would be so awesome. Somebody make that a thing. Like, dub over existing footage. We need Batman with Harvey Fierstein's voice. That would be amazing. Or should we give it to Alfred so it can be like that Carl from the Simpsons episode kind of thing? But then, I don't know. If you know what voice Batman should have, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us.
And of course, the other big thing this week.
Yeah, we got to talk Infinity War.
Was Infinity War, but you should talk about the rest of your week.
I don't know. I mean, my mother-in-law is progressing.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that.
It sounds like they're planning to release her back to home, out into the wild, on May 9th.
After they tag her.
It's still going to take, like, shit doesn't go back to normal or anything. Like, she's still wearing a brace that they call the turtle shell. That apparently, like, when I had to wear a brace, I shifted myself upright and then put it on in the morning. It took me, like, 3 seconds or whatever. No, this, like, with professional help, takes, like, a half hour to get going. So, that's going to be some fun time at home. But Trish has been there all week helping. A couple of days she was working remotely, but then other days, like today, she's at the hospital with her while she's doing all her rehab and stuff. She's coming home tomorrow. I don't know if she's bringing her sister or not. And I don't know if she's going back for next week. They were discussing that over there. So I don't know. So I've been on my own. But yeah, I haven't had a lot going on other than trying to get the pool up and running. Work has been insane. Yeah, mostly Infinity War was my thing too.
So when did you see it?
Friday night. We had planned this out ages ago. In fact, my sister-in-law basically showed up so we could see it, and then the next day they left.
Yeah, we saw it on Sunday. I was actually, believe it or not, I was really looking forward to it. I watched this recap video because there was a ton of stuff.
Yeah, 10 years.
I couldn't remember everything. And I wasn't even sure I'd seen all the movies. But I had. It's like, okay, I've got this covered. I'm really surprised. And I was thinking, this is a big deal. You know, 10 years.
Yeah.
Everything. You can go clear back to almost Iron Man and see little things.
And that's the thing.
I'm
like, from a storytelling perspective, this is a big deal.
Yeah, big deal.
Like, I walked in, I'm like, this may not end up being one of my favorite Marvel movies or anything, but it's, like, important and it's exciting.
Yeah.
When all the storylines come together.
And not only that, but, I mean, as we've talked about, I kind of prefer television over cinema because it's episodic and it's long form.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, obviously,
this is a version of that.
Yeah. So, I like trilogies and I like franchises, and the fact of the matter is nobody's done this better than Marvel has,
or at least more successfully.
I've seen, for a guy who's not a particular Marvel fan, I mean, I like superheroes and hero stories, but for a guy that's not particularly a Marvel fan, I've seen all the movies, I've pretty much enjoyed them all.
Yeah,
I mean, like, the worst Marvel movie is pretty good, was worth me going to the theater.
I would say
to see
so
it.
I still haven't seen Incredible Hulk, but yeah,
for a long time I thought that Iron Man was the best superhero movie yet made. So I was thinking about all this stuff and thinking, this is a really big deal. And I was glad to be able to see it, and I was really excited about seeing it. So that's my setup for just going to see it on Sunday. I saw it on
Sunday.
And
then...
Well, why don't you say what you thought of it?
All right. My stuff is pretty concise. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't exactly love it. It's not going to be in my top Marvel movies or anything, but I did like it. My two companions did not, I believe. You know, sometimes I get in trouble, I said, but they definitely, I believe both said they did not like it, and they were very hard on it when we left. Okay, I'm going to say those deadly words. I don't think this is a spoiler.
Okay.
So, the main issue seemed to have been that one or both of them was expecting a different movie.
Oh.
This movie was exactly what I thought this movie was going to be. In terms of quality, in terms of overall story, in terms of pacing, this is what I expected.
Yeah, I can't say that my expectations were met or not.
This is the part that I don't think is a spoiler, but because it's a connect the dots thing here, people. So, Marvel Cinematic Universe going on for a while, planning some shit out and all this, and they have said for a long time that the end of Phase 3 is the end of the story arc that has been going on, involving Thanos and the Infinity Stones and all of that stuff. After that, a lot of people get out of their contracts and are running for the hills, and they're definitely making more movies. They've already scheduled Guardians 3 and Black Panther 2 will come up at some point, stuff like that. But a lot of people are leaving, and whatever the story overall is going to change. This is the end of this era, basically.
Yep.
They've been saying that forever. And just with Avengers 4. Here's the thing. This is not Avengers 4.
No.
This is Avengers 3.
Yes.
So I don't know why people went into this expecting things to get resolved.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The movie does not have a satisfying resolution. There's my not spoiler. The movie does not have a satisfying resolution. I never thought it would.
I guess I didn't either. I didn't think either way, actually.
So, other than that, yeah, I liked it. It's pretty much what I thought it was going to be. Lot of pretty action scenes. My favorite bits are all the introductions. Anytime superheroes who didn't see each other before are forced into situations where they see each other are hilarious. I loved all of those. They were my favorite part, absolutely. And then beyond that, Infinity Stones are dumb. They've always been dumb.
Well, I didn't know anything about them.
These
movies.
And they're dumb because they're too game-breaky. They're too powerful. And they have to just gloss over huge things by using them. Like, every fight scene didn't have to happen once Thanos had more than, like, three of them.
Yeah, right.
And he even, he does things that I'm like, if you just did that every time, you'd win.
Yeah.
And even things where I'm like, even if you don't get all the stones, you can still pretty much wipe out half the universe with the ones you have now. It'll take longer, but you can do it. Like, and this is, I've been talking with more comics fans, and this is true in the comics, and this is true whenever they come up. They're so hugely, like, each Infinity Stone basically can make you God, but a certain flavor of God. So six of them is quite impressive. Yeah, they're just, it's dumb. And it's apparently in the comics, it's frequently fight scenes where Thanos just forgets he has complete omnipotence and remembers just when the good guys are about to win. Apparently he's like, what am I doing? Wasting my time. Like, he literally says, what am I doing? Like, and then wipes him out. And so, yeah, the Infinity Stones are dumb. And so there's a lot of dumb things in this movie that are not the movie's fault because Infinity Stones are dumb. So I don't want to say I forgive those, and certainly if they had managed to make it not dumb, I would have been happy, but there are things wrong with this movie that aren't necessarily the movie's fault. But in general, it's fun. I had a good time. I laughed. It's exciting. They played at suspense. There's more minor spoiler things here. Two things. One, death has never mattered in the MCU, ever. So if literally every character died in this movie, that doesn't happen, by the way, but if literally every character died, that wouldn't tell you anything about which ones might show up in the next one, because death has never mattered in the MCU. And secondly, how am I going to put this? If you see a character die in this movie, or disfigured beyond whatever, or something terrible happens to a character so that they can't be a cool, badass superhero anymore, and you know for a fact that they've got another movie coming out, maybe chill. Maybe just wait and see how it works out. Because that's the thing. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, well, I know some of the movies that are coming. So you still have to have, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot. It's very exciting. And if you haven't seen it now, go see it, especially if you don't want spoilers. Seriously, the shit I said is the tiniest bits here, and the internet is really wanting to spoil this one. There's a hilarious URL that I can't tell you about here because the URL is spoilery in its very name that's out there, but that's really funny because it's such a thing. People are already using... People are already memeing the shit out of this. Librarian Wong, or Wu. God damn it, I'm so racist. The one Chinese dude in the movie, who is one of my favorites, even though I can't get his name right, he's getting memed all over the place. I loved him. I feel like a tuna melt. watching Tony Stark and Doctor Strange have conversations is hilarious. It's like the two biggest dickish guys in the world who are used to running roughshod over absolutely every other person because they are just such big dicks meet each other.
Of course, DC has similar things. I mean, the mother boxes
kind of introduced in
Justice League.
And Marvel has other versions. Marvel's got cosmic cubes and Emkron crystals and Phoenix
and
forces.
And just about every character in DC has died at one point or the other, so it's all the same.
Here's the thing. This was taken from comics, partially. It is roughly based on a comics thing. And this is in the trailer, so I don't feel it's spoiling to say Thanos wants to destroy half the people in the universe. Like, that's in the trailers.
Okay.
That's his big plan. And that is in the comics. He wanted to do that in the comics.
Sure.
I will say, if you think his reasoning in this movie might be dumb as shit, it's dumb as shit, and this was not his reasoning in the comics.
What do you mean?
His argument for why he wants to kill half the universe.
Yeah. It's different. Some.
Yes. There are a lot of interesting aspects to Thanos' character that they never brought in this series of movies.
Oh.
So it's different.
Oh, okay.
His whole backstory is just sort of not in this one.
Mm.
I recently found all sorts of interesting shit, too. Drax the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy is the alien, and his world was wiped out by... Not by Thanos, by Ronan the Accuser, or whatever, the bad guy from the first Guardians movie, on Thanos' orders, and he's trying to get vengeance and all that shit. He exists in the Marvel Universe, but he's in fact just a dude on Earth who was hanging out with his daughter when Thanos decided to come to Earth and crash his spaceship on him. And he died, but they took his spirit, or I forget who, somebody took his spirit and stuck it in an artificial body, and he became like a superhero and shit. And his daughter became Moondragon.
I don't know.
It was a different superhero. Supervillain sometimes. Their backstory is a lot of switching sides and shit, so it's complicated. But yeah, so just completely different, except they vaguely look similar. And he actually had more powers then. He could, like, shoot shit out of his hands and fly. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was weird. Okay, your take. You gotta give me yours down.
Oh, yeah.
That I have said the entire
okay,
thing.
Okay, so...
Do you feel the Infinity Stones are awesome or don't? Those are your only choices.
Like I said, I didn't really go in with any expectations. Just think, well, here's another Marvel movie, but it's a big one, right? And I was really excited.
Longest fucking one ever.
I was bored out of my mind.
Woo!
The whole time.
Nice!
I was like... In fact, I was perfectly satisfied with the ending because it was ending. That's how bad it was for me.
Interesting.
Of all the films that... And I'm going to count every Marvel film I've seen... since Bryan Singer's X-Men, including
Ooh. That's
including
not fair.
Including Fantastic Four movies, all of them, I was not bored in any movie.
Wait, you saw both of the Fantastic Four movies?
Well, there was the two.
Yeah.
And then there was...
Oh, and then there was the shitty one later. You saw all three of those?
Yep, I saw them all.
And you didn't see the one good one, which is the 1994 limited release one, just to hold on to the licenses by, I want to say, Roger Corman?
And then, of course...
I've seen stills from that fucker.
One of the best Marvel movies ever, Ghost Rider. But...
And Ghost Rider 2 Spirit of Vengeance?
Shut up. No, but seriously, I'm exaggerating a little, but I was pretty bored. I couldn't believe how boring it was. Now, here's the thing about it, though.
Yeah.
I do not think every single movie that I've just referred to is a good standalone movie. I don't think this is a standalone movie.
No. Well...
I mean, you can't come to this movie, not ever seeing any other Marvel movie, and know what the heck's
going
on.
I'm about to blow your mind here.
Because there's like no plot, there's no character development, there's no any of that stuff.
This is the thing. I 100% agreed with you a week ago. Since then, I know multiple people who went to this having seen none of the other MCU movies, and... they all fucking loved it.
Well, it's a good action movie. I'll give it that. And a lot of action movies don't.
Because I have been baffled by this. They're like, yeah, it's pretty and there's excitement. I'm like, okay, I guess it is. And I guess it's more fun because you're really not expecting anything out of it if you have no idea what the plot is.
Yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, it as an action movie, and sometimes action movies don't really need a lot of character development, plot, whatever. It's great. It's fine. And I'm sure it'll make all the money just for that.
But you're not an action movie person.
No. I mean, yeah. I'm the guy that,
there is not a lot of additional narrative
this
film.
Thanos
shows up, tries to do some shit, and everybody in the galaxy tries to stop him. Hijinks ensue.
I'm the guy that when we watch a movie like this at home, and there's a big action sequence that I know is going to be 2 minutes.
You go have a cigarette?
No, I'll go get something to eat, or I'll even use the restroom, because I don't care about that
and
stuff.
That's all this was. This is wall-to-wall
all
fight scenes.
Now, it looked good.
Yeah, they're pretty cool fight scenes.
It was very well done, but since that's not something that interests me or excites me very much, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, wow, this is not doing anything for me at all. And I was bored the whole time.
Also, two extra very specific points I want to make about this movie. This has been creeping up on me for a while. And it finally was the nail in the coffin of this. I let the fact that he's Chris Pratt, and I love Chris Pratt, fool me. Peter Quill is a shitty guy. He is not a good guy. He is a terrible person. Just going to say that. Also, Tom Holland is on the verge of making me like Spider-Man. That guy is fucking amazing as Peter Parker. I love him in that role.
And I should say, I liked everybody in it, basically.
Yeah, but I'm just always shocked because I don't give a shit about... Yeah. He makes Peter Parker very approachable to me and interesting. Yeah. Like, he's not whiny. Like, he's just... I don't know. I just really like the Tom Holland version of Spider-Man, if we're using our made-up names. That seems fucking amazing, too. That's, again, in the trailers. But he's like, I'm Peter Parker. I'm Doctor Strange. He's like, we're using our made-up names. And I'm Spider-Man. Somebody wrote this big, long thing. I'm like, listen, you little shit. My name is actually Doctor Stephen Strange. And they're like, this whole thing.
No, I mean, yeah, everyone did a great job acting or whatever they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have a problem with any of that. It's just the story was lacking.
Captain America looked way better with a beard.
Well,
and this is the thing, and this is not so much a spoiler as it will ruin the movie a little bit for you when you see it. Anybody, even if you've already seen it, it's like one of those things to point out. The women always have to sort of fight the women.
Yeah,
and I fucking hate that.
Yeah, that's
like
a thing.
They have a big scene that has a lot of my favorite female characters fighting the shit out of each other, and it's an awesome scene. But I'm suddenly like, why is it all the women? This is a giant battle, and all the women came to this one fight. And none of the men. And that's weird. But we were talking about that afterwards, and I was like, no, it happened earlier. When Black Widow showed up, she immediately paired off with the one female villain. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I mean, I get it to a degree. I'm still the fucker who could barely stay seated in my chair in the theater watching Kick-Ass during the Hit Girl, watching Mark Strong beat the shit out of Chloe Moritz for 10 minutes.
A young Chloe Moritz.
Yeah, like, I mean, I understand that, but if we got to move past it. We got to, and this is superhero shit. Like, at no point did I feel bad for anybody. They were all superheroes. I knew if they got punched, they were going to come back. Like, I wouldn't be like, I wasn't like, oh my God, Captain America, what's up? No, I wouldn't be like that with Black Widow either. It's part of the fucking job. You're an Avenger, you're going to get your ass kicked. Sometimes by your own teammates. Also, I think we have really hit peak, like, the perfect version of Hulk. This is the, I fucking hate Hulk as a character. This was, like, my favorite version. Mark Ruffalo, oh, such a god. I love Mark Ruffalo. I really, we were talking about who was whose boyfriend from it. I all the Avengers, my boyfriend, Mark Ruffalo. Totally want Mark Ruffalo. I'm not saying I'd kick the other ones out of bed for eating crackers, but I'm just saying, in whatever version of fuck, marry, kill you give me, the marry part is Mark Ruffalo.
Well, one big problem with why I was bored was, part of it is, it relates to a couple things you said, and you can probably guess how the things you were saying distills down into what I'm about to say, which is there were two modes of observing what was transpiring in front of me on the screen, where there is either no real stakes,
no,
not really,
or super intense, yeah,
like
stakes.
Ridiculously,
yeah,
beyond, yeah. So far beyond you can't, it's the same, you know, you're just numb because it's like, I can't, yes, even comprehend those stakes, or there are no stakes. And now we actually don't know what the real stakes are.
Well, and that's the thing. See my original point about death never mattering in, yeah, the MCU? I would say that in every situation, there are no stakes.
Well, okay, but
that's been true for every MCU movie.
But it doesn't really matter what a future movie tells us the stakes were or are.
Yeah.
You've got to feel them in the movie. You can't...
I would agree with you, except again for the fact that it has never mattered in any of the previous
ones. No, that's true.
Like, at this point...
Well, but I mean... At least, well, no, you're absolutely right. But this thing was all about those stakes, right? It wasn't about relationships breaking up, or, you know, it was all about the stakes of really heavy existential stakes, and I just didn't buy it. And so the whole thing, I didn't buy it.
Yeah. There also was a brilliant, I don't even want to say cameo, small role, maybe that's even the best word for it, in the film. By a certain celebrity. I don't want to give anything away here, but when Thor went to the place to get the thing, there was a person there. Thor went on a little quest to get...
You're going to have to tell me later. I don't remember.
Thor went to find a weapon. That was pretty much his whole thing in this movie.
Yes.
At the place, there was one person.
And I would have noticed this person.
They talked to this person.
Oh, yes.
It was brilliant.
I know. Like, what
it's talking. Not even that interesting a part, but for reasons that you have to see to understand, it was awesome. I was like, is that? That's hilarious. I loved that.
But.
No, the actual plot line was still dumb as shit. But.
No, but the actor playing that part.
No, that's my point, and that's why we don't spoil it. I'll explain to you why this is interesting afterward.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to know why it's
all right,
interesting.
I will explain that to you.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yes. but yeah, so I was pleased.
I would recommend people seeing it, by the way. I mean, because it's a big event.
I mean, and it's a big action movie.
Yeah, it's
he
a
didn't
big
like
action
it cuz he doesn't like he doesn't
no,
care
no,
about
no, no,
that
no,
stuff.
No.
Which I'm still surprised you've enjoyed the MCU as much as you have.
Well, like I said, sometimes
they do a lot of good during fight banter, and they don't do that
well,
as much
like,
in this movie.
Like Civil War. What was interesting about that wasn't the action that was taking place. It was the conflict between
really broadly and inaccurately drawn moral debate going on.
No, that's not it either. It's just you've seen this character in movies before and you liked that character. Like I said, I really liked Iron Man. I really liked Tony Stark in Iron Man. And so I care about Tony Stark as a character. I
really liked Iron Man. By this point, I don't fucking care about Tony Stark.
I like Captain America in general, because I there was a Captain America TV show when I was a kid, so I have a lot of nostalgia there. But I thought the movies were okay, and I like how what's-his-name portrays him. What's the guy's name? Chris Evans. I like how Chris Evans...
Not to be confused with British television presenter Chris Evans.
So when they had the Civil War thing, I actually cared about the fact that these two characters that I liked that were friends weren't getting along. I could connect to that. And all the movies have something like that, but just this one just didn't. Because it was all about the big stakes, and I didn't buy the stakes, so I didn't care.
I also feel like they've never done well by Vision. I feel like Vision's a really interesting character, and they didn't pull it off here.
You know, that's interesting you should say that, because I don't know anything about Vision, and I feel the same way. I feel like I would like to know more about
this
character.
Wow, this is interesting. Why do we hardly spend time
on him? Yeah, exactly. That's
exactly maybe we'll fix that in the future. I don't know. Exactly. Maybe Vision gets a movie. It's Paul Bettany. He's usually up for this kind of shit. So.
And I like him.
I do, too.
He does good stuff.
He also picks absolute shit to do. I mean, he's kind of...
It's too bad.
He'll take everything. But when he's in something good, he's amazing.
He and Fassbender ought to do a film together.
Right?
That's awesome.
Except at this point, I'm sure they have. They may not have been, like...
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Co-conspirators or whatever. Okay. But I'm sure they've been in a movie together. It's they both have too much of the same oeuvre,
Maybe. Yeah, but like... Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, but that would be awesome.
Something like
that already... Some property that already has a good... Like duo thing to it.
Sure.
Oh my God, they'll be the new Batman and Robin.
What? No, they're too close to the same age, right?
They'll be the new Rocky and Bullwinkle. which is which? I feel. Oh, I was gonna say Bettany's Rocky, but I think Fassbender is Rocky.
Don't know. The new. I don't know.
They're going to do live-action versions of Robert Smigel's ambiguously gay duo.
They're too close to the same age. I mean, aren't they?
What was that Man from U.N.C.L.E. bullshit they did a couple years ago? They could probably do that with them.
Maybe.
Or like a reboot of Twins, but when the second guy shows up, nobody's super surprised.
You don't think they should be enemies? Like, it should be a...
We'll reboot Killing Eve with men.
They could do Face Off. Redo Face Off.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Let us kickstart the Paul Bettany, Michael Fassbender Face Off reboot this instant. Oh my God. Oh, I love that like a person. Oh my God. Speaking of poorly placed Aisha Tyler quotes, new Archer season started. I finally managed to watch the first one.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's fun. At this point, they'd throw some crazy shit, but it's just Archer, and you watch Archer, and Archer's funny.
Yeah.
So that's good. Also, I am now two episodes into this season of Legion.
Oh, see, we haven't watched any of it.
Still batshit insane. Still loving it. Still have to really be ready to sit down and pay attention while it's going on, which is sad because so much of it doesn't matter. Like, you only need, like, 3% of each episode to help carry the plot, but you have no idea where that 3% is. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay attention to the whole thing to make sure you got the right one. And the rest is just gorgeous, psychedelic disco flavor.
I thought the first season was good TV.
This makes the first season look normal.
Wow. And I haven't seen any Westworld either, so...
We haven't touched any Westworld yet, which is bad, because it's starting to pop up in places.
Oh, is it? See, I'm not seeing anything.
I keep track on some pop culture websites, and so I have to, like, avoid those kind of things.
Oh, I might have to start doing that, too, if people start...
But, yeah, just the last few days, I've started seeing a couple of... Well, apparently some thing has already happened, because I'm seeing headlines that start with, here's the thing from season one of Westworld that foretold the... And I'm like, no! Be quiet! All right, we should draw a hat thing because we're almost out of time. This is what the show has become.
We just
talk until I notice there's about 10 minutes left, and I'm like, okay, draw a hat thing.
Again, go see it. I'm not saying don't go see it.
No, I would agree.
I'm just giving you my impression of it.
Cut off your fluid intake a few hours before.
It is
more than 2.5 hours long. It didn't, I mean, obviously it did for you.
Yeah, it seemed pretty long to me.
It didn't drag for me, and that's a thing for me.
Yeah.
Is how long did a movie feel versus how long it actually was.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the great things always was that Wonder Woman did not feel long to me at all. Felt very short. This one, when we got near the end, I found myself wondering when we were going to get to the end. Mm. So it was a little bit, but that's par for the course for a long movie for me.
Okay. So Azure Talon has two separate questions. Your question is this.
On one card, what the fuck, man?
Tony, did you remember to eat pork sausage on Groundhog Day? Oh, is that a play on Groundhog Day? Is that Groundhog?
You're asking me, and frankly, I'm insulted that you think I might know.
Oh.
Because that's how dumb that question is. What's the other question?
Oh, this question to me is, William, sorry I don't have a meat-free option for this pun. Oh, that wasn't a question.
It was a statement.
I thought it was a question. It's not a question. Well, I accept your apology as you're telling
me. You know, I'm coming up with answers for this, and I hate myself for it. Okay, first of all, it's May 3rd. I have no idea. If I had the opportunity to eat pork sausage on that day, I would have, because if I have the opportunity to eat pork sausage, I do.
Yes, but to commemorate a groundhog.
And I don't... See, it was groundhog. I feel that's the day you make pork sausage. You grind hog.
It's funny.
And then I think the last thing I want to say about this, though, is for certain alternate definitions or connotations of both the word ground and the word hog, you can come up with some weird shit you did that day to commemorate things. Some of which really are unpleasant, but some of which are kind of intriguing.
Okay.
Maybe you just have to drop pork on the floor then eat like a groundhog.
I was thinking about this the other day. I wonder how Azure Town feels about there being a song by the Police about him.
Is there a song by the Police called Azure Town?
No. It's Synchronicity 2. It's about the Loch Ness Monster. Well, at least part of it is.
Still writing that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is one of the songs, like...
But a very violent Loch Ness Monster, I think.
Yeah. Shadow on the door.
Of a cottage on the shore.
And then they say lake, and the rest of the time is loch, and I'm like,
they say
the?
Both, yeah, lake and loch, yeah.
Never... That... Synchronicity 2 is the song that I most wanted to know what the fuck it was about. And was the song that I was least able to. Because you can get the lyrics and read the lyrics and not have much more sense.
It's the title is the what it's about.
That while a normal day is happening, a Loch Ness Monster is.
There's synchronicity between the emotions of the guy and the attitude of the monster.
No, for reals?
Yeah. So there's a synchronicity there. So what's about to happen to the people in the cottage is something similar, synchronous, is about to happen to the people in the house.
Oh.
Because the guy's losing his mind from the monotony and all the aspects of his life.
Legit did not ever put this together.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
If you also didn't know what Synchronicity 2 was about, go to the blog and tell us. Or if you think it's a different thing, so there's a bit in The Office where one of the guys plays in a Police cover band. Remember, it's set in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So the band is called Scrantonicity. But then, and I was like, it's good. But then a few seasons later, it comes up for some reason, and he's like, no, my new band, Scrantonicity 2, don't look for Scrantonicity. We had a falling out with those guys. They're doing their own thing. And well, I love that even more.
Synchronicity, of course, is a Carl Jung concept. I wrote...
Also, it's just the noun form of a word that's existed for a long time.
I wrote a song. I wrote two songs about another Carl Jung concept, the shadow. And I wrote two of them, Shadow 1 and Shadow 2. Kind of in the same vein of the Police writing Synchronicity 1 and 2. But I don't think you've ever heard them. I don't think I've ever, like... I don't know.
I have heard very little of my Pilot music, House. Yeah. Or whatever your solo album was called.
Shadow 1.
Donuts Are Fun.
Shadow 1 and Shadow 2, yeah. I think they're all right. I think they're all right songs. I think maybe Jazz has heard them, but I don't know even that for sure.
Come on, there's nothing. Your first solo album, Donuts Are Fun? I mean, come on.
That should have been my first solo album.
Yeah.
But yeah, you didn't. I mean, that's the whole point of it, is there's a synchronicity between the monster and the man.
No. Never did. Like, okay, this is. Guys, seriously, you got to go to the blog on this one, because I feel like this is one of those things. Is William just completely out of touch with everyone else and he's the only one who ever figured this out? Or is Tony a dumbass?
No.
Because these are pretty much the two premises that we put forth in every episode.
Okay, but this is not, it's not a very good application of the synchronicity concept, at least not as Jung formulated
it. Damn it, I want to give you a wedgie so bad.
So maybe that's the reason for the confusion. Yeah.
So everybody else is like, could it be? Nah, not Jungian enough.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's it.
I'm just saying.
I just love this idea that people are like, oh my god, I just realized it's called synchronicity too, and there's the two. No, that's not Jungian enough.
It's not!
Alright, so third option, did you also not know what it was about, although you considered what was apparently actually the answer, and discarded it as too un-Jungian?
No, I just, it's kind of like the Alanis Morissette song about irony. You just kind of go, well, okay, yeah, that's maybe not exactly.
But I still knew the song was about irony.
That's because she kept saying it over and over. I don't think they even used the word synchronicity.
No, they do in the first one, but not in the second one.
So it's just the title. You have to connect the title to the song and go, oh, I see, synchronicity. Okay, I get it.
Except not.
Well, some people don't even realize that's the title of the song.
Shitty Young. That is true.
They think it's Many Miles Away.
I knew that,
like that
song for a while before I knew that. I think it was when I finally got my own copy, and so like a track
list set.
And I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. So for a long time, you probably just thought this is called Many Miles Away or whatever. What the heck does this even mean? The explanation is completely in the title, but if you don't know the title or whatever, then you're not going to figure it out. One thing about that song that really bothers me is the mixed metaphor in the middle. With the packed like lemmings in a tiny metal boxes. We don't pack lemmings in a tiny metal boxes.
We push them off the edge of cliffs with our camera equipment.
Well, and of course we know that was staged, so the lemmings don't even do.
Yeah, with our camera equipment. Like literally the cameraman like chased them
but
off.
Usually he's so good at lyrics, and then he writes this lyric that's not very good.
Well, okay, let's take it from, we don't even need the shiny metal boxes. Packed like lemmings.
Yeah, we don't.
When have lemmings been packed?
That's my point.
This is a problem I have. So, okay, I'm an idiot.
Lemmings. We don't pack lemmings. We pack sardines.
Give me a pack of lemmings. unfiltered. Yeah.
Virgin olive oil, extra virgin.
I'm an idiot. Like, this is coming up a lot. So, okay, recently there's a commercial for a new car. It's the Honda Kona, I think.
Okay,
it's an adorable commercial.
Right.
There's an astronaut in space doing a spacewalk,
oh,
but she's got her smartphone.
Okay.
And she's got a text, and it says, honey, can you do the thing again?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
And she's like, really? And then she hits the thing, and she remotely unlocks his car from space.
Right, right.
And he's standing there, and he's like, thanks, honey, and he gets in the car. And then there's a little throwaway of the joke at the end where he's like, you should see the moon tonight, and he texts her that. And she's like, seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I forgave some of it. Like, originally I'm like, oh, you know, it's silly, but it's sweet. Like, she's not going to have her smartphone in her hand, outside her suit, on a spacewalk, whatever. And then Trish was like, I hate this commercial. I'm like, why? It's sweet. And she's like, he has a phone.
Yeah, he could do it. Or if it's got an app or whatever.
And that had never occurred to me. Ever. And then Trish is trying to get a little apology. She's like, maybe it was out of battery or something. I don't know. And I was like, yeah, maybe, but that's pretty weak. And then I saw it again, and I'm like, first of all, he texts her.
Yeah, he called
and
her,
second of
her.
All, one of the things is it has a wireless charge thing in it. He puts his phone down, and it says it has like 75% battery. But I saw this commercial easily a dozen times and had thought about it a lot because it's kind of involved and it's original or whatever. And she's like, he has a phone. And I'm just like, And, oh shit, he has a phone. What is happening?
What is happening?
Why is he not?
Because he's so dumb.
And she's in space. What? How is... Yeah, no. Like, that was a mess. Years ago, there was one because you could do it. Some car had that as a thing. And instead, it wasn't that. It was some guy who just kept being like, he'd ask her, like, do it again. And she'd do it because he thought it was really cool. Yeah.
Well, pretty soon you'll be able to pick how you want your movie to go with your smartphone. Won't that be great?
No, it's going to bump. It's going to bump so bad, and we won't have this
never
going
to go to... First of all, I won't have a phone.
I love the concept, but it won't work.
First, I won't have a phone, and I'll just have to sit there while everybody else shows me what they want.
A choose-your-own-adventure movie would be about as interesting as reading a choose-your-own-adventure book now, minus the nostalgia,
yeah.
Which would be the only reason I would read a choose-your-own-adventure book now. They're not good, and you can't put your finger in the spot in the movie. We all do, yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, the end. That's what you do when you're uncertain. You just look for the words, the end, or you died, and then you go back. And
well,
it's going
to
suck.
You know,
William just found out this is a thing.
We were just talking about Telltale Games, and they're kind of a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing. But they
they're
could
less
never,
crowdsourced.
Well, and they could never do that. They could never do that in a film. You just, there's no way.
Yeah, it's too much production.
Yeah, no way.
Involved.
No way.
All right, we are out of time. I want to eat this supper that you got me. It's sushi, and it's been an hour, so I feel like that could be bad. Didn't think this through. All right, so seriously, there's a lot of shit we want to hear from you guys about this time. Go on the blog and talk to us. Want to know, he's out of touch, I'm stupid.
not stupid.
What did you think of Infinity War? Other things. We had others. Go back and listen. There's stuff. I don't remember. I try not to remember I did this. But I've been told we'll do it again next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.